and local.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Taking you up to 2 p.m. And you have a new king joining the Sacramento Kings, someone that I am familiar with in the Bay Area, Juan Toscano-Anderson, most recently playing for the G League or in the G League, yep. And he has been signed. Obviously, there is some familiarity there with Coach Mike Brown, and JTA played with the Lakers for 30 games back in 2022-2023, played on that championship Warriors team in 2022. And after that, so as I remember it, he got a little bag after he balled
with the Lakers, Warriors.
And he got a little bag with the Lakers, and it just didn't work out.
Yeah, pretty much.
It didn't work out. What you're getting in JTA, as far as I'm concerned, is you're getting a guy who's going to compete defensively. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, honestly, as from the defensive standpoint, I wouldn't call him lockdown. Yep. I would say he gives great effort.
Right.
He is long, okay, and he's going to try his best to get in you. But I wouldn't call him a savior
right.
as far as the defensive kind of piece. But he just does all the little things. He's a great bench guy.
Right.
He can hit the corner three for you if you need it. Probably don't want him shooting too many of those. One of those guys, you know, I'd call him a 3-and-D guy with great effort, can help defensively, but is just a little bit limited in what he will be able to do. So just some of these averages here in 2022 with the Warriors, he averaged 4.1 points per game, shot 32% from three, 2.4 rebounds, 1.7 assists. Lakers, he was only, well, yeah, the Lakers signed him. They were only giving him 12 minutes. He had 13 minutes with the Warriors, and he averaged 2.7 points on 50% field goals, 20% from three. So I think the Lakers were just trying to get every wing they could find and try to figure it out. In 2021, he played 53 games with the Warriors, and he was getting 20 minutes. And in those games, he averaged 5.7 points on 57% shooting and shot 40% from three. So, you know, he's a guy who is not afraid of the moment. Bay Area guy, Oakland dude. I think that he will definitely add to this team. And in a situation like this where you don't have to lose, why not have him and see how things work out? But as far as I think a lot of people would think about him in the defensive standpoint. I think he's going to be one of the better defenders for the Kings, but if you're wondering if you just got a shutdown guy or somebody that's going to crack the rotation, I don't believe it's going to be JTA, but a good addition when you don't have to give anything up.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, like you said, he's just an energy guy. That's really all that I'm looking for him to do. Kind of reminds me of just like a taller, more stretched out version of Kessler Edwards, really, is kind of the role that I would expect him to play. Like you said, not like anything special on the defensive end, but he's gonna give effort on that end, and you know he'll always give you good energy. And then offensively, you're really just anything you can get as a positive.
Yeah,
he's an okay cutter. He's an okay finisher.
He understands the game.
Understands the game, but he's also somebody low maintenance. At least you know if you want to say that if you're gonna put him out there, maybe with a Malik Monk and with a De'Aaron, and you know maybe with Sabonis out there, it might make a little bit of sense because offensively, he's just not a guy who has to get touches in order for his value to be shown. And so, you know, it's a guy that you can maybe just kind of throw into certain lineups. Like you said, he's not going to be getting 15 to 20 minutes on a given night.
I don't think so.
He'll probably check in last couple minutes of a quarter just to give good energy. And like you said, it's an incredibly – there's a no risk. There's zero risk behind it. And really all that you could potentially get is just maybe a body to throw at guys that – you know, like we've been saying, the Kings just kind of don't have
exactly
a particular set of personnel. At least JTA helps alleviate that a little bit. Even then, he's not Kyle Kuzma out there. He's not 6'9 with a 6'11 wingspan. I think he's listed at 6'7 and probably has
6'9
wingspan.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, it's a guy that you can throw out there. He's a wing defender and, you know, I wouldn't expect much out of JTA this year, but I also wouldn't be surprised if we kind of see him get some minutes sooner rather than later so that they could figure out, because Keon Ellis still getting a lot of big league action here. Mm-hmm. I think he's got 51 games before they need to convert that two-way into a full season-long contract. So who knows? Maybe JTA kind of gets a little tryout here, and if it doesn't go well or how the Kings want it to go, maybe that roster spot just ends up going to Keon.
So you think if it does go well, it could be the end of Keon?
I didn't think of that in that capacity, but I guess in a way somebody's got to go if Keon's going to remain on the roster. So I didn't think of it that way, but yeah, actually kind of. Yeah, it's a little bit of JTA or Keon, or they could trade somebody and free up a roster spot, or they could, I mean, it doesn't have to be JTA that goes. It could be Kessler Edwards that goes. It could be, you know, I don't know. It could be anybody who's so on some the end type, of the roster.
So basically right the Kings roster is at capacity.
Yeah, it is now. Yeah.
And if Keon is going to get that, because everybody is just saying, oh, he's obviously going to get this.
Right.
With them signing JTA is basically a tryout for that last spot.
In a way, yeah.
Whether it would be JTA, Keon, yeah. And I think it's a good point to put Kessler Edwards in there.
Could be JaVale too. Who knows, like when Alex Len comes back, if they're not.
See, man. No, see, you can't just do
just
that.
Just like throwing that out.
Leave
there.
JaVale alone. You need the vertical threat.
When's Alex Len come back?
Leave him alone. He's not part of this. It's those three.
Yeah.
That's an interesting, to look at it like that. Now, if you're going to put it through that lens, and I know iron sharpens iron, does that make you surprised that they brought in JTA?
I guess the timing is a little strange, especially with Keon like seemingly starting to really find his offense. He had the 17-point game the other day.
And by the way, Keon and JTA, not the same position at all.
No.
At all. The more similar, like you said, would be Kessler and JTA.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, and they haven't played Kessler a lot this year. He had a pretty disappointing summer league, I would say. I think people expected, especially in the summer league environment, him to kind of look like he's a step above it and kind of look like he belonged a little bit in summer league. And I wouldn't say that's a positive. This year we really haven't seen much of Kessler at all. Like last year after they got him, I don't think anyone expected him to crack any sort of rotation. And by the end of the year, it was almost like, I think come playoff time, we have to play Kessler Edwards because at least he plays defense. This year, I guess with the team collectively playing better defense, maybe his use or his value is just a little bit less because everybody's starting to contribute and Kessler's exceptional defense or whatever you would call it doesn't stand out as much when everyone's kind of pulling a little bit more weight. But yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Kessler's the guy, or who knows, maybe even like Chris Duarte has completely fallen out of the rotation. Maybe it's him. I don't know.
That is a name drop.
The Kings could also just make a move on the edges. Like you could trade 2-for-1 and get Kessler Edwards and I don't know, Chris Duarte for one other player, and then that still opens up the roster spot there. So there's a couple different ways that they can approach opening up that
I'm not even
spot.
Kidding with you. That Chris Duarte, that was a name drop.
Yeah.
I can't think of the last time I thought about Chris Duarte.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
No, because the problem is he, as well, was supposed to be really big impact this year. He was supposed to be 100% in the rotation.
We talked about maybe him starting.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that was like a month ago, maybe. Man. And he's completely just fall. He played to start the fourth quarter the other day after Keegan went crazy, and I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, I forgot Chris Duarte was a piece, and he just looks like, for whatever reason, it hasn't fit. Like, Chris Duarte's style of play just hasn't really worked. And, you know, we were kind of, not promised, but there was a lot of talk about, oh my gosh, Sabonis opened up so much for Chris Duarte in Indiana, and his numbers were so much better with Sabonis than without. And now that he's back with him, it's just going to, he's going to look like his rookie season again. And, we just haven't seen any of it. So, I mean, it would not surprise me if he's another guy who might have some value still. Again, the Kings, I think the Kings got him for pretty much nothing. But, you know, you could probably get a second-round pick or something for a guy like Chris Duarte. I think he's somebody who could maybe intrigue you. Like, I think the Warriors or someone like that could really use a guy.
Well,
like
that's
him.
What I had them in my trade machine.
There you go.
I had them in the trade machine. if you were to answer this question without thinking at all, and you are a team like the whoever you want to say, the Warriors or whoever, who has more value to you, Davion Mitchell or Chris Duarte?
I would say it probably depends on situation, but I would say Davion probably still.
Okay.
Because he played in the playoffs last year. He played well when he did play, at least defensively. You can definitely say that's a universal thing that it feels like every team would say, like, Davion Mitchell, we can use that on-ball pressure.
Davion is 25. Duarte is 26. So they're basically
that's
the
interesting.
Same age.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, long-term, personally, I would probably – take Duarte because it feels like you can easily, or more easily, I should say, just find a role. You could probably find 5 to 10 minutes for him. And if it goes well, maybe he could be, you know, a guy of his profile who can shoot and defend a little. That's a guy who you can sneak in your rotation. I do wonder with Davion how much of it is like it's either a hit or it's a complete miss. Like it's either going to be Davion figures it out in a different system. It just works a little bit better. He's able to have the ball in his hand a little bit more, use a little bit more pick and roll. He plays more minutes. Just all of it leads to more Davion success. I have a tough time seeing him kind of do this role, but for a different team, if that makes sense. Like I don't know how many teams are really going to look for Davion Mitchell to – at least, like I could see Washington, like a team like the Wizards or the Bulls, I think would be perfect for Davion. Just give him minutes and let him try to figure out on the floor. I feel like if you're still going to give Davion 10 to 15 minutes, it's just going to be really hard for him, in my opinion, to find his footing in the league.
But I don't know if he has a high enough ceiling for somebody
that's
to want to do that.
Yeah. No, it's
right. You got too many.
Like
young,
if you're just
young
taking
bucks
him
running
on,
around,
yeah, right.
Where I can give minutes to somebody else. I mean, if Jaden Ivey can't get any time,
right.
I would give
no,
Jaden Ivey the time before.
You're not wrong.
Before Davion
you're
Mitchell.
Not wrong.
All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, we will discuss what Sam Amick had to say, friend of the station, and getting back into possible trades that the Kings may or may not need at this point. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports. Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. 45 minutes. We have some hardcore Niners talk with Nate Littlefield as we talk all things Niners who roll against the Cardinals 45-29. The Brock is hot. NV Purdy. Okay, there is a lot to talk about with Brock Purdy. Is he the best quarterback in the NFL?
Uh-oh.
It's a fair question now. That's what the streets are saying. Mm. That's what the fields are saying. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Chris?
Yes, sir.
Just real quick. Just real quick.
Yeah.
Before we get back into Kings.
Okay.
We're going to talk Niners in about an hour here. Do you think it's ridiculous to have a conversation about Brock Purdy as the best quarterback in the NFL?
Yes. That's actually tough. Because the problem is, I feel like, would you say it's a different conversation to say he's playing like the best quarterback in the NFL versus saying
so.
He is the best quarterback? Then yes. Then I would say yes. Because Patrick Mahomes is still alive and breathing.
Yeah. It's tough. But then the conversation becomes, let's take Patrick Mahomes out of it.
Sure.
Who's second?
You probably put, I mean, skill-wise and, like, what I think people feel like is potential is at, probably Josh Allen, too, if not Joe Burrow, too. And then after that, I mean, after those guys, like, conversation is pretty open at that
it's
point.
Weird
even Josh Allen, I mean you could argue his stock is never been lower than it is right now. I mean they didn't win on Sunday because Josh Allen was out there.
Exactly.
So I mean with Brock it kind of is, at what is the line to where it no longer feels crazy to have that conversation? That it's the bar keeps getting raised. It keeps going from like, okay, it's crazy to talk about top 10. Well, now it's like, okay, top 8. Okay, well, is it crazy to say top 5?
Just, I think it's just a weird time.
I don't think it's crazy to say top 5.
No, it's not. And I do think this is not a slight to Brock, but I do think it's just a weird time for quarterbacks. We thought we had a lot of the quarterbacks from the last decade who we grew up with, from Drew Brees to maybe we didn't know how good we had it, right? And we thought there was just going to be this turnover.
Yeah.
And, you know, from Drew Brees to Peyton Manning to Phillip Rivers to Tom Brady, obviously. Right. And Eli Manning to a lesser degree, Ben Roethlisberger, a lot of these guys to where, you know, and I know Cam Newton had some things to say.
Joe Flacco,
right? Cam Newton had a lot of things to say, and people tried to come down his road. But, you know, you now hand the keys off to these young bucks and these new QBs, and you're thinking, okay, who's the next great? And you're looking around thinking, okay, well, Joe Burrow can't stay on the field.
Right.
Justin Herbert. We just don't know yet. Trevor Lawrence can't hold on to the football. Mm-hmm. You have Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. We're still waiting. Yeah.
This could be the season where you establish
Lamar might it. Shady be the best pick for that because if you're ever going to beat Mahomes, it's going to be this season.
Yeah.
I don't think they can beat the Niners, but if you're ever going to beat Mahomes, it's going to be this season, but we will have more Niners talk in a little less than an hour, 1 p.m. with Nate Littlefield as we get into a friend of the station, Sam Amick, who had some things to say about the trade conversations and who it seems more realistic for the Kings to get. So, Chris, I know you had some pieces on that.
Yes, this is fantastic. As everyone knows here in Sacramento, Sam is incredibly plugged in when it comes to anything Kings. Anything Sam says about the Kings, I would definitely take it about as close to gospel as you can because, again, the dude is just so locked in when it comes to anything local. And you know, he's always talking to the right people. So if there's anything sourced in here or anything that says – you know, from people I'm talking to, just believe it. Just trust me, and it's true. And Sam, of course, had some things to say about the Kings being involved in just about every big name out there, whether it's Lauri Markkanen, OG, Pascal Siakam, Zach LaVine, and Sam's got it all. He says when it comes to the Toronto guys, that being Pascal and OG, who are headed to free agency this summer, Siakam with an expiring, and OG Anunoby is widely believed to decline his $19.9 million player exception. Amick writes that these two players appear unlikely at the moment to be on Sacramento's radar. Anunoby, more specifically, does not appear to be of significant interest to the Kings. So I definitely think that's of note because I would say that OG Anunoby is probably the one that Kings fans, a majority of Kings fans would say is the fit that makes the most sense. That's the direct one-for-one replacement for Harrison Barnes. If you just take HB out and you put OG in, to me, that's the most seamless fit of all of the names out there. Sam saying the Kings are out, I feel like that's pretty much it. And we were talking about earlier, Keegan not being involved in those trade talks probably is what, you know, ends up killing those deals. Yeah. Doesn't seem like either of those two guys are going to be an option. However, Sam does go on to say when it comes to Zach LaVine and his huge $178 million left on his deal, the Kings might actually be interested in kicking the tires on a deal like that. Though it is quite hefty, Sam says that the Kings roster focus appears to be on the value of additional shooting and offense above all else. And because of the Kings' improvement, slight that may be, on the defensive end, going from 23 last year to 15th this year, that improvement, Sam writes, it seems, is enough to turn the internal spotlight towards becoming even more explosive on the other end. And, I mean, just – and also goes on to say, by the way, that there's a lot of talk about, you know, LaVine going over to the Lakers – you know, with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Sam writes in here, and we've talked about this a couple different times. Sam writes, quote, De'Aaron Fox is a major priority for Clutch Sports these days as well. per league sources, LaVine would be very happy with a move to Sacramento, and that would make Fox his backcourt mate. So interesting in there, and I don't think that it's nothing that Sam throws in the clutch clientness of this all. It's a very real thing.
It's a real thing, and obviously, if you can keep your main guys and you can swing it financially and you have your main guys locked up to go on, what, call it a 3 to 5 year run,
yeah,
something like that.
I think that would be the window.
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
I mean, have no clue what that looks like.
What do you think about the line before that last? Since the Kings have moved from 23 to 15, they no longer feel like they need to make a move necessarily to improve that defense. They feel like the shift has already shifted far enough, and there's no need to, you know, continue to try and improve on that end. They would rather just double down on the offense. I saw a couple people saying, okay, so 15 is good enough. 15 is quite literally the number where it's like, hey, we're average. Like, we are quite literally right in the middle of the league when it comes to defense. Now it's just about, let's turn the offense up to another dial. Or do you still feel like, you know, defense wins championships, all those cliches, do you feel like there still needs to be some attention given to the defensive end?
I think that makes sense to me, because all everybody said coming into this season is, well, if you're going to score like you're going to score, then your defense only needs to be middle of the road. Now, the defense is middle of the road, but it's taken Keegan a while to get it going, and Herter really hasn't gotten it going besides a couple – it looking more like a couple games versus that being the norm. So if you think you can bring in somebody that will bring you back to where you were offensively or take you to the next level – and at very worst, you're not going to slip defensively, right? You just got to get Zach LaVine to give some effort here.
Right.
He's got the quickness and all those
tools. Yeah,
he's got the tools. So I would say that it makes sense to me.
Yeah,
I'm more so thinking about how much anybody has really watched Zach LaVine since being in Chicago, and what that fit actually is offensively as well.
Yeah, because I have concerns about that. It's a lot of Zach LaVine with the ball in his hands in Chicago, and you're going to put him off ball and, you know, reduce his role and reduce his importance. Well, then, you know, you're paying that dude $48 million starting at $48 million. He better be contributing in a lot of different ways if he's mainly a scorer and, you know, you're demoting his role. Though I feel like it would work, because I feel like Zach does he's got the good shooting ability. He's got good enough shooting ability. I haven't looked at his catch and shoot numbers specifically, but it feels like he's a guy who should be able to shoot above league average when it comes to off ball. And we know about his leaping ability, so he shouldn't have any issues being a cutter or attacking the rim. Mm-hmm. I think it makes a lot of sense on the offensive end. To me, it kind of, you know, it does end up becoming just a matter, like we talked about with Draymond, but it's the contract is just too big for me.
It's not
to
great.
Me, if you're going to make one, if you're going to, you know, ship off your Kevin Herter, your Davion, all of your assets except for Keegan, and you're going to consolidate also those three financial pieces, individual financial pieces, into one, going all in, you just, again, you better make sure that that one guy that you're trading, you're going all in for, better make sure that that's the right one, because you can't really move pieces around after that. Frankly, I just don't think Zach LaVine is the one. I think he definitely makes this team better, but if you're telling me, oh, the Kings are a Zach LaVine away from NBA title contention, you're going to have to sell me on that one a little bit.
Zach LaVine, 21 points per game, 4.9 rebounds, so call it 5, and 3.4 assists per game. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, talking Lauri Markkanen, did you watch him on Saturday? Were you impressed? Would you want him in the purple? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. We will be joined by Nate Littlefield at 1 p.m. to talk Niners of the Return of the Empire podcast. 916-339-1140 from the 530. Is there another potential third star in the league other than LaVine that the Kings go after? Funny you ask that, 530, because there is, and the Kings just played him this past weekend, Lauri Markkanen. And if you were watching the game, we are curious your thoughts on Lauri Markkanen if you haven't really gotten to watch him too much before. This is from Kevin O'Connor, who covers the NBA as well. And he says that the asking price for Lauri could be around five-ish picks. Here's a quote. My impression from talking to teams is that it's something resembling the haul the Jazz received for Mitchell and Gobert. So five. They just want all the picks. Give me all the picks. They're trying to go the OKC route and just get all the picks in the world.
Oh, boy.
Five-ish firsts and or players of comparable value.
How about no? How about absolutely not?
What is that? Five-ish, so you wouldn't, the Kings wouldn't have a pick until what?
Yeah.
2040?
I mean, I think they're kind of saying like, or equal value. So like,
Keegan.
Yeah, but then the question is, okay, what, is Keegan worth two first-round picks? What is that three first-round picks?
Damian's
is that three and a
first
half?
Pick, first round?
He is a first-round pick, but like value-wise, like, does that take a first-round? Like, if you trade Keegan and Davion, does that count as three first-round picks? Is that four? Is that three and a half? Like, it becomes just a mess and, like, you know, and then there's protections and pick swaps. So, you know, in a way, that number is a little bit more menacing on paper than what it might be in actual practice. But even still, it feels great. I mean, that's laughable. That's you're not especially from the Kings' perspective, you're not even entertaining that at that point. Like, Lauri Markkanen's cool, he's a shooter, he's a four who's 7 feet tall, so you get some size, but it's no. Again, kind of like the LaVine thing. I don't know if he's necessarily good enough to consolidate assets to kind of go, wouldn't necessarily be all in, but you'd for the most part be locked into Lauri Markkanen, Sabonis and Fox as your future.
Yeah.
Don't love it.
Yeah, and even if you're looking at this from just the structure of the team, you have two guys, and we just talked about LaVine, who defensively isn't going to add, and Lauri Markkanen is not going to add anything defensively either. The bottom line is, number one, everybody is expensive, and number two, not many guys play defense, and that is why, to bring it all the way back to Keegan Murray, a two-way guy in this league is almost invaluable.
Yeah.
Right? Because
everyone's looking for 3-and-D, right?
Everybody's looking for a 3-and-D wing, and the Kings have that and some as he continues to improve and get better. So I don't know. The more I think about this, the more we break. There's something wrong with everyone. There's something wrong with everyone that we've looked at, and I know we've kind of shut the door on Pascal Siakam and the Raptors. But here, and Chris, you broke this down perfectly. I'm going to read it, but you break this down in layman's terms because you did perfectly in the pre-show. So this is the Pascal Siakam contract details, right? So you have OG, who they want Keegan. You have Lauri Markkanen, who they want five first-rounders or something of that value. You got Zach LaVine, who's getting paid what feels like $60 million a year. I'm kidding, but he is at 45, and it is going to go up to, I think, 49 by the end of the contract. And here's Pascal Siakam. Eligible for four-year, $192 million extension with Raptors until June 30th, 2024. If traded prior to December 30th, Siakam could sign the same four-year extension 6 months after being traded. He's only eligible for a two-year, $84 million extension if he is not traded prior to December 30th.
Interesting. So that tells me that Pascal Siakam, A, there's two different trade values for Pascal Siakam. There's the December 31st, or we'll just call it the January value, and then there's the up until January, just the rest of December value. He clearly has a lot more value right here, right now. If Masai can move Pascal in the next couple weeks, that's going to bring the most possible return for him, because the team that's trading for him, we'll just say, whatever, it doesn't matter. The team that's trading for him could then sign him to the longest possible extension with the money that Pascal would also be happy with. He wouldn't become a free agent.
And so his value is just peak right now. Mm-hmm. After that January 1st or whatever, December 30th deadline, he then can only sign a two-year deal, which obviously means less team control. It also is less likely that Siakam's going to accept that. He might just say, you know, I'll do a tryout the second half of the season and then maybe I'll hit free agency and then all things are going to be equal anyway. I could still sign with you, but I just want to explore my options. It just really, I mean, and with that is going to become, well, I'm not going to give you what I was going to give you before because I'm not trying to take that level of a risk. If it's a little, if I can guarantee that I'm going to have him for 4 years after I trade for him, well, then sure, that's maybe I'll throw you some first-round picks. If I'm right. the Warriors, maybe I'll do Kuminga, Moody, and some picks. But if it's after that that January deadline and you can only sign him to a two-year deal, I mean, it already has become really hard to deal with for him. I think after that, pretty much that to me says after January, once January hits, I think it's almost – It's probably not going to happen that Pascal Siakam's going to get moved. It just feels like if Masai isn't okay with the value now, he's definitely not going to be okay with the value even when it's at a reduced rate, even if it makes sense for it to be at a reduced rate.
Right. So if you are a team looking at Pascal and you can't get it done prior to this four-year extension, you're going to say, hey, Masai, I'm not giving you all this because it's just a two-year extension after that.
Right.
So I'm not giving – and so – I just don't know. We might need to call somebody in the 666 and just just get their thought process on
is this good?
Are they okay with what they're doing in Toronto? What is the plan? It's just, why doesn't he just come out? As much as I didn't want the Raiders to move off of Devontae, at some point it made sense. And they said, hey, we're not moving him. He's just living in this world. How long have they been going on? For 2-3 years?
Pretty much, 2-3 years at this point. Running.
Where, if you're the fan base, that's got to be frustrating.
Yeah.
How about
you're
this?
Not buying
if you're
jerseys.
OG or Pascal, that's got to be frustrating.
Yeah.
I cannot believe that the Raptors are allowing him to just continue with this weird purgatory, and it's been going, and to your point, it could go on another year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. If I were a fan, I would understand. I'd be like, you know what? I guess in one sense, I'm glad that my GM isn't one of these dumb GMs who are going to, you know, I was going to trade Tyrese Haliburton for somebody.
Man.
I was going to just throw that in there for fun, but I don't actually feel that way. You know, you'd much rather him overvalue your guys and try and get as much return, especially when you see the Donovan Mitchell trade, you see the Gobert trade. You're like, okay, if people are just throwing out first-round picks like they're hotcakes, why would I accept anything less? But at the same time, you then end up now where you're in a situation where Fred VanVleet left this offseason for nothing, Kawhi left for nothing, and now you have two more guys from that same era where do you really want to have your championship team from a couple years back completely gone and have nothing to show for it?
Yeah.
Like, you got Scottie Barnes, but that's because you sucked. It wasn't because you traded for that asset. So, I mean, it does feel like at some point, something's got to give. And if your intention isn't to sign these guys long-term, the Davante Adams example is perfect because it's like, you're just kind of doing your team a disservice. Mm-hmm. Like these guys are not going to help you win this season and they're gone after this year.
Yeah.
So you might as well trade them. And even if it's not exactly what you want, isn't something better than nothing at some point? And you know, you might get ribbed a little bit for, imagine if you would have traded him 2 years ago, what the Warriors would want to throw and all that stuff. But again, at some point you got to cut your losses and say, maybe I held on to this stock a little bit too long.
Exactly. And I think bringing up stock makes a good point. You could go to trying to sell your car, right?
Things
are tough right now in terms of the market and trying to sell a house or sell a car or whatever it is.
Right.
And you might
think the market's interesting too, because look at all the other names out there. It's like, okay, well, if you're not going to take this collection of assets, I'm going to throw this collection of assets at Zach LaVine.
Right.
Or at Lauri Markkanen. Like, there's tons of different avenues to explore. It's not like you're the only seller.
And then
out
what
there.
Happens? After that, one of those first rounders hit, and Raptor fans are ticked off because that you could have had maybe one or two of those guys if you draft correctly, but Masai is waiting. And every single year, man, look, there are new guys that come into the league every single year. And they might not be Pascal or OG, but there's some good players, and everybody's improving, and the longer you wait, the less value your guys are gonna have. Nobody's gonna if you put yourself out to be hard to work with, people are just gonna stop calling.
Yeah.
And then you have to, and maybe you're okay with that, but your team better be winning.
Yeah.
All right, gotta get to a break. When we get back, we're talking Washington Wizards, and we are talking about the curious career of Jordan Poole. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. as we talk Kings, as we will talk Niners in about 15 minutes, getting into Brock Purdy, getting sturdy with Purdy. Do want to talk about the Wizards a little bit, because earlier in the show, we discussed whether the Wizards should be this bad.
Yeah.
And Chris, you initially said yes, and I initially said no. And I just want to take some time to talk about Jordan Poole.
Please, you were boots on the ground last year.
So Jordan, I was a guy who I thought Jordan Poole kind of got a bad rap. I thought that Jordan Poole, you know, I had a pool party shirt. I was enjoying what he was doing. I thought that I didn't think he would ever be Steph or anything like that. But during that 2022 run, I thought, hey, they're going to be able to keep this thing going. He's only going to improve, right? Is he going to be on a run like this forever? I don't know, but he's only going to improve. You saw him when guys would get physical with him. Later on in that playoffs, he disappeared a little bit. He was really good against the Nuggets when he was starting. And then throughout that playoffs, he kind of disappeared a bit and then had his moments against the Celtics with the half-court shots.
Right.
But kind of cooled off a bit.
I forgot about the half-court shots.
Yeah, I mean, the world was literally his oyster.
Yeah.
And then he comes back. We still don't know. We've heard so many things. You're a backpack for 30. I heard even wilder stuff that I will not say on these airwaves. And he gets punched in the face by Draymond Green, and in Warrior Land, there was a lot of caping for Draymond. There was a lot of, well, Jordan Poole just seems like he's annoying, and there's this, and he must have crossed the line. Look at how the rest of the team is treating him. And now he gets the bag, right? And now he is in Washington, averaging 16.9 points per game on 40% field goal percentage, 2.6 rebounds, and 3.6 assists.
What's that three-point percentage looking like these days?
The three-point...
Is it under 30?
The three-point percentage.
Because I know he's putting them up.
It's at 29.9%.
That's not it. That is not it, brother.
It is at 29.9%.
Oh boy.
He's even had...
He's just putting them up.
He's putting them up.
40-29 splits is crazy.
Yeah, and he has been seen getting into it a little bit with some of the other guys on the team, not really paying attention during some of the timeouts. So, you know, I don't think it vindicates Draymond at all.
No.
But is it insane to me to think that I'm not blaming everything on the punch, but this is one of the most bizarre turn of events we've ever seen. Right, like
pretty
if he
strange,
doesn't
yeah.
get punched, like it's just so much easier to do this if he didn't get punched.
Right,
it's just so much easier to say he just got hot, then he cooled off,
and he left the Warriors situation, and all of a sudden,
But it's like I don't know. You know, I like to take things to the kind of the mental side of things, and it is crazy to me that you can ascend like that, and then just fall off a cliff.
Right.
I mean, Chris, that next season after the punch, he was just bad.
Yeah.
It's just bad ball.
Well, and to your point, though, initially about being underrated as well, I do think it is unfair how Warrior fans really didn't give him credit for when Steph was out.
Yeah.
Like, him and Klay did, and a lot was Jordan Poole. Like, a lot of it was Jordan Poole holding the ship afloat. Now, were they great? Were they, you know, a top seed in the West? No, they were hovering around 500. But without Steph, and as Jordan Poole as your lead guy, after all that had gone down, I did feel like it was a little disrespectful of how they were treating him. Even then, you know, it was a okay. We're gonna use you when we need you, but then when Steph is back and things aren't going well,
right.
You're right back to that scapegoat role, and it's crazy. I mean, I think it is. Like, what else are you going to point to the reason why Jordan Poole just fell off?
Or he just
right.
got like, hot. That's the only other option. He just got hot for a season.
And he is one of those guys where you could see, yeah, like, he is a streaky he's definitely a volume
shooter.
But
even the moves and the confidence yeah. and every how oh, he was sure. playing was just completely different.
Yeah. No, it is. It's tough. I mean, but to go to the mental side of things, you could understand how a moment like that, not even necessarily the punch itself, you could argue maybe now there's, did he get knocked out like that? Getting knocked out in front of your team, by a teammate, and then feeling like nobody had your back, like that's a pretty lonely feeling. That's got to feel pretty isolating, especially, you know, you feel like
Andrew
you're on
Wiggins
the up.
Was his boy.
Yeah,
Andrew
and then
Wiggins
all the young
and Jordan
guys.
Poole were boys.
Yeah.
And I believe Kuminga, they were all cool. So there was this,
It was a rift. It was a real
right?
rift.
And just the way everything turned out, that might be one of, if you were to say sports ifs, right? I don't think it's in my top 10 if Bo Jackson never got injured or whoever. But if Jordan Poole never got punched, yeah. I'm just curious what would have happened. And I'm not blaming because, you know, people – look, if anybody knows about pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, it's me. I understand that. People aren't going to feel bad for you. You know, figure it out, right? But you could make the argument – I would make the argument and say, and I don't think Jordan Poole is – what is he? Probably about 24 now.
Yeah, yeah.
He's 24 years old.
Yeah. So young.
I could
That's
make the
nice.
Argument if you could still – if you just look back – at that 2021-2022 season, and this clearly isn't the right situation for him,
yeah.
right? I don't know if that could become the right situation in Washington. It's crazy because there were so many memes of the Spider-Man, you know, where it's Big Spider-Man or Into the Spider-Verse, right? Where it's Big Spider-Man and Little Spider-Man, and all the time you would see Steph right. and Jordan Poole and just him moving in that direction. He just is a guy who does seem to lack a little bit of maturity
yeah.
and needed somebody, not Kyle Kuzma, right. to get him back.
For sure.
I would never – Harrison Barnes is too nice to yes. deserve to be yeah. in Washington, but a Harrison Barnes-type person that could be like, guys, we got to get our stuff together. We're really not a bad team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We have talent and figure out what exactly they can be, because I'm not willing to say that – Jordan Poole is fully done.
Right.
But I think that
it's being decided.
I think that it's being decided. And Unseld Jr., the coach, is doing his darndest, doing his best.
He's trying.
I mean, I'm sure he's trying. But I look at Jordan Poole and some of the moves and how crafty he's become.
Yeah.
And I think he's just gotten a little bit lost in the sauce.
Yeah.
And he ain't getting out this season.
Yeah.
It's not happening this season.
I think he reminds me a lot of, like, you know, in the NBA, he's always got these guys. He reminds me of J.R. Smith. He's very Nick Young-esque where, you know, and, you know, would you call them head cases? Would you call them just, you know, guys who play street ball, but in the NBA?
Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying he could be a number one on a championship
for sure.
team.
But can
I'm
he
saying
be a,
he could
a
help.
Contributing member yes. of success?
He already has.
Right.
So
the blueprint
I think
is there.
He can do it again
it
in
feels
the right
like,
situation.
To your point, like, it feels like he needs a strong leader, though. He needs somebody who it's, you know, hey, nobody is above this guy, because I think Jordan Poole is a habitual line stepper. I think he's a dude who's going to see Steph Curry and he's going to say,
annoying little
look,
brother.
I know I see Steph every day. I know I can do what Steph does. That's what Jordan Poole tells himself.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes him great. But at the same time, you do need to have somebody almost so good that even Jordan Poole's like, look, I know I say I can do everything Steph does, but even I'm like, that dude's crazy. I think he has to have a level of respect for somebody on his team or the leader of his team. And I think right now in Washington, he's probably looking at him and Kyle, and he's like, "Kuz, this is our time. It's jacuzzi time, y'all."
No,
like,
it's not. Yeah, it's really not.
I think he's got to go to, like, a, you know, LeBron's clearly getting up there at this point, but it
LeBron
feels like a LeBron-led team. Yeah, he probably doesn't want to. But you know what's really unfortunate? I could see Miami being a situation where he goes off. If Miami's willing to,
because Tyler Hero, does that guy ever play?
Saw him in a white, jean shirt and pants. And I'm like, what is this dude?
Yeah, Jimmy would be able to whip him into shape.
Yeah.
And I would say, and if I'm not mistaken, Jordan Poole is from, because I remember.
He's from Milwaukee.
He's from Milwaukee.
Yeah, Tyrese and Tyler Hero are all boys.
Kevon Looney as well is from the Milwaukee area, because I would say that Giannis could whip him into shape and say, hey, you're not going to be doing some of this stuff.
Right.
I think
they could use a guy like that. That's interesting.
He might not ever be in a good enough situation, but what Jordan Poole suffered from in Golden State was that, number one, he had a situation to where he saw guys doing things and he felt like it was too obvious that Steve Kerr and the organization was treating guys differently.
Yeah.
You know, Draymond can act like a madman,
right?
Okay, and look how that ended up for the Warriors. But Jordan Poole can't say this or that, and it gets looked at differently. Everybody gets on Jordan
Steph
Poole.
Steph can throw behind his back and throw it out of bounds to the fifth row, but Jordan Poole doesn't, and all of a sudden this guy's ruining the team.
We feel, come on, Jordan, but this is a 23-year-old through his lens.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson, Jordan Poole, the beginning of that season, Klay wasn't playing. So Jordan Poole was balling out. Klay Thompson comes back. He really is still struggling.
Yeah.
And then Jordan gets relegated to the bench. And then they pay him, and he still gets relegated to the bench. And he's thinking, I've helped the team more than Klay these last couple years, this last year and a half, and nobody cared.
Yeah.
So I don't know what Jordan Poole needs. I'm really intrigued to see what the heck we see
today.
I think
we would both agree, though, there's talent there, though.
There's plenty of talent.
And I think that's what's so frustrating.
He's 24 years old, and he's done it. He's not afraid of the moment.
No.
It's just about reining it in.
Not lacking confidence, that kid.
Just reining it in somehow, some way. Will he be able to do it? Will the Wizards be able to do it? I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe in a couple years, but not with this current roster. It just reminds me of a bad daycare. It reminds me of daycare and just bebe kids and just everybody running around doing whatever they wanted. It's just... is there a chaperone in here? What's going on? You got jacuzzis.
There's like a 13-year-old. It's like, is this the person in charge?
Yeah.
Is it this?
It's like, whose kids are these? Whose kids are these? All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, Nate Littlefield joins us from Return of the Empire to talk Niners and Brock Purdy. Is he the best quarterback in the NFL? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.